Welcome everyone into the B Section podcast, brought to you by the Morning Times and Daily Review. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined by Logan Hill and David Goff for a special Thanksgiving edition of the podcast this week. On this episode, we'll talk Troy football. We'll get into Waverly swimming, Tioga volleyball, do a little Thanksgiving Day draft to put everyone in the spirit, and obviously talk some NFL. But before we do any of that, Logan, talk to me about the Jolly Farmer.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. Thanksgiving edition of this podcast. The first thing I got to lead off with, David, what Thanksgiving item are you going to the Jolly Farmer to pick up? 7 Elizabeth Street.
7 Elizabeth Street. I don't know. Here's the thing. I haven't been in there to know what kind of food they have.
Maybe this is the week.
Maybe this is it.
Full confession, it didn't work out today because I just didn't wake up in time, but I wanted to come in here with Jolly Farmer Donuts.
That
just
would have
to
been
like,
the play.
I should have done it. I didn't wake up, which is usual for my case. Yep, but
I'm going to throw rocks at your window next week to make sure you get to the Jolly Farmer before the show.
They got good donuts, that's for sure. The Troy Trojans advance past the quarterfinals of the state tournament. They beat Bedford 42-16. They will play Friday night in the state semis in Towanda, Pennsylvania. Crazy.
The football gods are real.
That's
for sports writers. The football sports writers, yeah. The football gods, they're real. As many different ways as I can say it.
Unbelievable. 7 p.m. in Towanda Friday night. They'll play Riverside. But before we get into that game, let's talk about how they got there, Logan. Troy defeats Bedford 42-16 last weekend. Talk us through it.
First ever quarterfinal win for the Troy Trojans at this far. The first time they've ever advanced this far into the bracket, into the football postseason. And I said before we hit record today, it was really 42-0 through three quarters. I said varsity because then after that, both teams kind of subbed their JV, some of their reserves in, and let them play out the rest of the way. But really just another, I hesitate actually to say ho-hum victory because Troy kind of had to earn it to start. So they got the ball first, and they had to punt. Bedford gets it, can't really do anything with it. Their quarterback, do-it-all, his name was Quincy Swaim. Really good name if you're going to be a do-it-all kind of player. But
Quincy Swaim.
Broke off a couple of big runs there early, and in my mind, I was like, okay, this kid's going to be a problem for Troy all night long.
Yeah.
He might give him some fits. He throws an interception. Joseph Fry comes up with a pick for Troy, returns it to about midfield, and then they grinded out a drive. I believe it was 12 plays. I'm going to pull that up exactly, but I believe it was a 12-play drive, one pass, 11 runs. Evan Woodward punches in a one-yard touchdown to put the first points of the game on the board. I think there was about a minute left in the first quarter at that point. So from there, they get another stop, and they go down, and they score again. How did they score the second time? The Troy patented halfback toss play. Pitch it to the backfield. Mason Smith stops his feet in his tracks, turns, and throws to wide-open Lincoln Kimmicks for a 15-yard touchdown. It's 14-0. From there, they would score another touchdown before halftime. Brendan Gilliland got an 11-yard touchdown. I didn't know we could put out coffee orders during taping.
That happened last year at some point, too.
Much appreciated.
Brendan Gilliland punches in that 11-yard score, and they lead 21-0 at halftime. Out of the locker room, they get another score. Bedford got the ball. Bedford, meanwhile, has not really had much success offensively. Can't really string any drives together, any plays together for the most part. That's a credit to the Troy defense as well. 4 plays into Troy's first drive after halftime, Brendan Gilliland, 52-yard touchdown down the right sideline, just broke away. I think he finished with the 2 scores in the game. I think he led the team. I'm trying to find it all here on my story all at once, but 28-0, and really Troy can start to feel it. Right, it's a quarterfinal game. Every team's good. You're playing, but this is what Troy's done to teams all year. They had one game that they didn't cross the 10-point threshold, and that was over in Wilmington, Delaware. So really, in Pennsylvania, Troy has scored points, and they were keeping at it at Lock Haven that night.
And I've been in the stands for something like this, where when you're favoring a team or you're rooting for a team, and you get off to that type of start in that type of game, the relief that kind of comes out of you and that breath of, you know, easy air where you're thinking, man, this is the state quarterfinal, and we're up this big. We're really going to do this. I mean, this is our year.
Troy's first drive was 12 plays, 49 yards. That's a grinded out drive. And it took me back to, I mentioned the Wilmington game that I was fortunate enough to be able to travel to this year. That's that game, that drive that night was reminiscent to that kind of night where they really had to go and just get your 3 yards, get your 2 yards, get four or five one time, maybe make a big play and that'll swing it. They haven't really had a lot of those moments so far this year. I mean, while Lucen gave them a good fight through two quarters earlier in the season, but to have to go do it, I think that game, and I remember talking to Coach Jim Smith back when that week was coming up about the opportunity, about what they were going to be able to learn about their team at that point in the year. Now, that was week two, but to be able to go and do that and come away with a win like that, I think ends up helping you down the line when you face some of that adversity. So they punch in another two scores. Woodward rushed for another touchdown, had all day to throw, couldn't find somebody to throw it to, decided to run it, dove for the pylon, got it in. One of the most fun type of plays you can see in football when you dive for the pylon and get in. So, and then Kale Millard, who was kind of, I hesitate to use the word battering ram when I talk about a fullback, but that's kind of what he was in that game. 5 of his 12 rushes in the game went for first downs. So he was the chain mover in that game for the Troy Trojans. And then from there, the running clock got started right before the end of the third quarter, and it was reserves the rest of the way. Bedford punches in two scores down the stretch in that fourth, and Troy moves on. They're playing in the state semifinals for the first time ever.
Here we are. They will get Riverside, the District 2 champion, I believe. Logan, is that correct?
Sounds right. Yeah. I was fortunate. I used fortunate already, but I went down on Saturday and actually watched the Riverside-Williams Valley game.
Okay.
And Riverside was had some good turnover luck in that one. I think they finished with 4 fumble recoveries. So they had a couple interceptions. I think the other side might have had an interception too, Williams Valley. But Riverside goes up 28-7 at halftime. So the rest of the way, Williams Valley scored all the other points to be scored in the game, and they had 3 chances in the fourth quarter to potentially tie it. Riverside got all stops whenever it needed to get the stops late, so they move on. They're based out of the Scranton area.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Scranton area, so that should be very interesting. Again, that's Friday night in Towanda, Pennsylvania.
If you're a football fan, whether you're a Towanda fan, a Wyalusing fan, Canton fan, Troy fan, obviously, but even an Athens or a Sayre fan.
Support the NTL.
If you're an NTL fan,
yeah,
it's in your backyard.
Absolutely.
I expect it to be a very packed stadium. I'm planning to get there early so that I don't have to scramble beforehand, but I'm expecting a big turnout. Plus, it's a further trip for the Riverside faithful to come out to, but it's only about an hour and a half. And once you get to this point in the season, big Commonwealth, to have a game that close.
Oh, you're traveling. Yeah. You're traveling. It'll be packed. It'll be an electric atmosphere. But again, if you support the NTL and come out and get behind the Trojans in a first time ever type of game. Haven't seen a semifinal team since the 1A Canton squad a few years ago.
2021, I believe.
Yep. Troy, they're going to try to
maybe
go for it this
maybe
year.
22. But I just can't. I mentioned it at the top. I cannot believe how fortunate, from a sports writing perspective.
Yeah. Football got smiled on me for going to Delaware, for going to another state semifinal.
I guess I earned it, right? Yeah. Because the last 3 weeks covering this Troy team, it's been 2 trips to Mansfield University plus a trip to Lock Haven, all on Friday nights. Peel back the curtain for you guys a little bit. Our Friday night stories go out Friday night. So that was a lot of travel at hectic hours and getting stuff done quickly. Lock Haven was a little bit of a different story. I had to write that from a sheets nearby and just ship it out for someone else to do it. But to get the story done and to get it on the page, it is rush hour at the dead of night. So
yeah, and the goal always as a high school football team, whether it's a team, a player, a coach, is to be playing some form of football on Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
And Troy's going to have that opportunity Friday night.
So this will be the last thing we can turn to the other sports that we're going on. But I remember a couple years back, every year back home where I'm from in Maryland, I do a turkey bowl with my friends. We do it on Thanksgiving morning. Well, I want to say it was maybe like the second year of us doing it. The football team of the school, we always play at our old high school field because they have a turf there. They showed up for practice Thanksgiving because they were still playing.
Yeah.
So like you said, that's the goal.
That's the goal.
I think in like the Philly area, there are teams that even when their seasons are over, they'll play each other on Thanksgiving Day, which is part of a tradition.
If you're playing football Thanksgiving week, you're in a good spot. As far as the non-football related sports, Davis, cap us off, bring us up to speed. Let's start with Waverly Swimming.
Yes. So it was state championship weekend in Webster, New York, and Waverly girls had a number of girls participating, and they left Webster, came back to the Valley with 2 state medals. So the 200 freestyle relay of Mira Kittle, Olivia Chersnowski, Lauren Wells, and Megan Atanasoff, they finished 5th place with a time of 1 minute 37.93 seconds. And then the 200 medley relay, who came in as the 18th seed, medaled with an 8th place finish. They were Olivia Jaroslawski, Natalie Sack, Mira Kittle, and Lauren Wells. They had a time of 1 minute, 51 seconds. Good showing there for Waverly. And also in the 100 backstroke, Mira Kittle was 11th place. She was first place in the consolation final, but she was also 900ths of a second away from 10th place, which would have given her a medal in that. So she came very close to that. She was also, we talked about it last week, that she was going to be a very high seed in the 50 freestyle. Unfortunately, she false started in the preliminary round, so she was unable to advance. It's funny because that happened earlier this year in track in Waverly. Ralph Johnson was in the 100. I believe it was the 100 where he false started in the final. And he was the number one seed in that. But he came back and won a medal in 200. He actually won the 200, became a state champion in the 200. For Mira Kittle's sake, she comes back out the next day and helps her two relay teams, two medals, despite the adversity she had. So generally a strong, historic weekend for Waverly swimming to come away with two medals.
Yeah, congratulations to those Lady Wolverines on a great swimming season. Speaking of strong female teams, let's transition to Tioga Volleyball. Wrap up their season for us, David.
Yeah, so I was there. I was there on Saturday morning for their Class C state championship pool play. It didn't go so well for Tioga. They lost all three matches. It was two set matches against three different teams. They were unable to come up with a win in any of the sets. And it was hard. And you knew going into it that was going to be difficult for Tioga, who hadn't been there in 9 years. So all these girls had never been there before. Their task was to face the three-time defending state champion, Porterville, who was undefeated, who ended up winning their fourth straight state title on Sunday. Wow. They were also to face number two, Mount Academy, who had won a championship in Class D 2 years ago. So that's obviously a strong program. So, yeah, they started the day at 8 in the morning against Mount Academy. They lost 25-9 and then 25-18. The first set was ugly. They didn't get anything going. It was about 23-10 in that second set. And then all of a sudden, Tioga woke up and it was a block party. They had like about five blocks and eight parties.
Love it.
Love a block party.
Love the block party.
But it was like, okay, Tioga, they're awake. They're here. They kind of found themselves. It was too late to come back in that one. So they lost 25-18. But I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're in a good spot. And then two matches later, they play Stillwater, who was the only team in that pool play that Tioga was ranked higher than. Like, Tioga, you think, probably should win this. And both teams needed to win this match in order to have any hopes for later on. And it was 13-5 Tioga right out of the gate in the first set. It was the best volleyball they played all day. And it looked like they were the better team than Stillwater. And then all of a sudden, Stillwater goes on a run. They have a lead by 18-17. They end up winning 25-22. And then they dominate Tioga in the second set, 25-14. That closed out Tioga's day. They still had to play Porterville, and they lost that 25-15, 25-13. But the loss to Stillwater in their second match of the day was what eliminated them from championship contention. The good thing for Tioga is, I would say first, the bad side for Tioga is they lose Callie Bailey, who has been a strong senior for them this year and just their best overall player, I would say. But they have nine juniors on this team that are going to be returning next year. This was a very good learning experience for them.
Reload for sure. Yeah. Not necessarily the outcome they wanted, but again, like you said, David, heck of an accomplishment. First time going that far in 9 years.
Yeah, it's a section championship season is a section championship season too. So
absolutely.
One thing, just getting down to these points in the year in these team sports, one team's going to win it, right? Mm-hmm. Every team except one goes down as losers by the time that it's over. But and like you said, a great season and something that should be celebrated. They were one of four teams left standing in their class.
Cream of the crop.
And the one thing Coach Desiree Ford told me after the match, or after the day, was, you know, two years ago she saw Lansing in Class B go to the state pool play. Didn't go so well for them. The next year they came back and won the state title in Class B. It was like, we're not Lansing, we're Tioga, but you know, you can always get those learning experiences to see what happens next time.
Great point, no question. So that wraps it up for high school. Again, one team left. The Troy Trojans, Friday night, 7 p.m. in Towanda against Riverside. Get out and support the NTL and see a potential state championship berth if the Trojans can get it done.
We've gotten so deep into the fall postseason that the winter season is on the horizon, a couple of weeks away.
It won't be long before we're talking hoops and a bunch of other indoor action. So wrestling, of course, in this area, big, ready to go for a good season. We'll have all that for you and more on this pod as usual, but one team left, one accomplishment remains, so get out and support the Trojans this Friday night. Before we get into some football and other Thanksgiving action, Logan, one more time, hit us with the Jolly Farmer.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week.
Special Thanksgiving edition calls for a special edition of the Philly Minute. May I please have 76 seconds on the clock for David Goff? 3, 2, 1, David, go.
The Philadelphia Phillies have lost more recently than the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow. Okay.
That took me aback when I saw someone tweet that the other day. It's true. It's funny how the season has kind of played out, because I was in here the first few weeks of the season thinking, what the heck is going on with the Eagles? They're kind of world beaters right now.
Seems like you might have one guy to be thankful for.
Saquon Barkley, baby.
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah,
he's much more tolerable when they're winning, I can tell you that much.
Saquon clearly making a difference, that's for sure.
I'm just happy to be having fun watching the Eagles again. Even when they were winning games early in the season, it just felt like they haven't really rinsed off the stench from last year. But now, I mean, they just crushed the Rams. They're beating teams pretty easily. Beating the Commanders 2 weeks ago was 26-18, but it was a bigger beating than that. So, like, it just feels like they're really figuring themselves out. And, yes, Saquon Barkley has a lot to do with that.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun watching him play and being able to root for him now.
Now, that brings you to a confrontation at this table as we move into the weekend. Your Eagles next up on the docket, Logan's Ravens. The Ravens.
3 minute time has just ended.
They took care of business on Monday Night Football against the Chargers. Sets up a pretty epic matchup. How are you two feeling about your chances?
Loser has to work the other shifts for an entire week. No, that's not true. But
I don't know if that would get signed off on. Regardless, that might be above all our pay grade. Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean you're working 70 hours?
Well, look,
this week?
I lost a podcast.
Oh, you want me to cover Troy football in the state championship if the Ravens win? Okay, I'll do that.
That's silly David over here. Here's the thing.
Who should be the favorite?
The Baltimore Ravens, because as much as we talked about the Eagles on Sunday,
do we know the line?
You guys keep talking. I'll find out.
Here's the reason I say the Ravens should be the favorite is I have one stat to pull out. But before I get there, while the Eagles were hooping it up in L.A. on Sunday night, the Ravens went and did the same thing in the same stadium on Monday night. Yeah. So they win an AFC matchup, whereas the Eagles won an NFC matchup. No 255 rushing yards that night like they got from Saquon on the Eagles sideline. But the Ravens as a team rushed for over 200. The reason I say the Ravens should be the favorite in that matchup is because if you've been paying attention, and we have to draw our former co-host Johnny Williams in for this, the Ravens have already played the Bills and the Cowboys this season. There's just one left at this table.
Okay,
that's true.
Ravens are 2-0,
knocking them off
one
by
one. The Cowboys.
The Ravens are -3.
Lamar coming,
3-point favorites.
That feels about right.
That's the home field advantage, essentially. So it's really a pick 'em, and you get the 3 points for being at home, which that makes sense to me. Yeah. You agree that the Ravens should be the favorite, David?
I don't have a strong feeling toward it. I really don't. It makes sense that the Ravens are the favorite. They're home. Like, it just makes sense. And it's 3 points. It's not much. So I don't have any real thought about it. I'm just excited as a football fan. Like, I'm going to be stressed during the game, I'm sure, because I want the Eagles to win. I'm sure there'll be adversity to face, whatever. But Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts,
playmakers,
AJ Brown, Mark Andrews. It's awesome. Yep. It's going to be an exciting football game just to see how it goes.
Should be a good one. The Bills get the 49ers, the last place in the NFC West, San Francisco 49ers. Not sure I saw myself saying that at this point in the season. The 49ers, fraud watch, they're going to get it together. The dynasty kind of over here. What's everyone get on the 49ers this season?
Well, I think fraud watch would be a little too extreme of a term, because at this point, no one thinks they're the dominant team anymore.
Yeah,
at this
McCaffrey
point,
missed a good chunk, but now Purdy's out, and I know if Johnny Williams was sitting here today, he'd say, who cares? Brock Purdy doesn't matter. I do miss a little bit of the Brock Purdy banter with Johnny, but I feel pretty confident with the Bills at home against the Niners.
Yeah.
Buffalo's rolling. Allen looks good. They seem to have figured it out, and again, the 49ers run might be dwindling a little bit as we speak.
The last tidbit before we turn from this week's games, or at least this weekend's games, I should say. Lamar Jackson, 22-1 all time against the NFC.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's a stat that maybe doesn't make sense.
Who's the one team?
Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. It was
Daniel Jones, no longer a New York Giant.
Wink Martindale, the former defensive coordinator for the Ravens, was the Giants' defensive coordinator at the time.
Last tidbit on that: where's Daniel Jones end up? Anywhere?
I think Baltimore.
Really?
So I don't know. It said like Daniel Jones Dallas? Is going to be monitoring it.
I wish the Cowboys signed Daniel Jones before this week.
That would be hilarious. Yeah, but in a one-off season, let's say you're going to sign a one-year contract for the rest of the year, why would you not try to just go be with a team that's contending? Like, why would you want to go play for the Raiders?
I think he said as much.
He said that, too. Yeah.
That's why I think, like, Baltimore, maybe Minnesota.
Yeah, he's got no interest in going and playing four more games with the Raiders.
Why would you want to line up behind that Cowboys team that, I mean, they do get the win last week, but...
Right.
Just not a lot of hopeful, and like we just said, the Raiders either. So
we'll see. Biggest sweepstakes since LeBron James, some people are saying.
Well,
I saw someone talk about that.
Let's talk Thanksgiving. Maybe the best eating day all year. Plenty to be thankful for. Friends and family. A lot of good sports on the TV. But let's stick to the food. A little draft here. Snake draft style, 3 picks total. We will start with me.
Okay.
And that's just because I decided that. No rhyme or reason. I have the mic currently, and I will start this draft, and I will take turkey.
Hold on a second.
Sorry, I picked it.
I was looking for a piece of paper to start writing this down. I don't have one. Somebody else is going to have to write this down for us today. I was going to say we let David pick the order.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Why? Why? Give me your reasoning and we can discuss.
Because he leads in the locks of the week.
Oh, that's fair.
So he gets to pick the order. He gets to pick where he
picks. And you're last, right?
Well, I'm last in the locks, yes.
So you're going in the middle.
So, yeah, that would theoretically be the way. David, would you like to pick first or third? It's a snake draft. Kirk kind of got his first pick thrown out there, but I think that was a pretty ho-hum.
It could have been a fake. We could have discussed this whole thing beforehand, and I threw a fake pick out. First or third?
I'll go first. I'm picking turkey.
All right, fair.
So David gets turkey. That leaves me. I will take...
This sets me up well, though.
I'm not entirely...
It's only 3 picks.
I'm not entirely sure I like picking first. But this is a freaking Thanksgiving feud draft. I don't care, so...
It will be polled.
I will go with mashed potatoes.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
I should have gone third.
So I'm going to go...
You should always go third in a 3-person snake draft.
I will take stuffing.
Stuffing, that's a good pick.
Now, this was where it becomes
interesting. Recently come around on stuffing.
I think I'm going to actually take a dessert.
Okay.
And I'm going to make my second pick pumpkin pie.
It's a good pick. I like pumpkin pie. It's my favorite time of year when the pumpkin pies start coming out.
That goes back to Logan.
Okay. I maybe could have gotten this with my first pick, but just so that the pick gods aren't going out there on me, gravy, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Well, you got to
like peanut butter and jelly.
It's fair. Can go on your turkey too. You can kind of mix it around in there.
Did you pick twice?
Yes. I went with stuffing and pumpkin pie.
Okay. Gotcha.
I like the gravy pick because it's a utility player.
Well, and if I would have tried
utility player.
If I would have tried to go mashed potatoes and gravy, there could have been some pushback there. I said the word "and," so I got mashed potatoes and gravy got back to me. And gravy, you can put it on anything.
You know what? Your McCaffrey.
You know what's great about me picking first now is that none of the things that you just said are things that I have for Thanksgiving.
All right. So David, you got
strike
two
me
here.
As a pretty diverse eater. Do I have that wrong?
Yes.
Let's see what's going along with David's first pick of turkey.
So these are going to be my last two picks, right?
Yeah. We're doing three. This is your feast right here.
So I got to put corn in there.
Okay.
I
on
do.
On the cob or in a bowl?
Bowl. Thanksgiving is usually a bowl.
I agree.
Although corn on the cob is superior during the summer months.
That's a summertime food, yep.
And then this is a personal favorite of mine, but green beans.
You got the vegetable sweet.
Okay. David's Thanksgiving meal is turkey, corn in a bowl, and a side of green beans.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty solid.
It's pretty good.
Logan, mashed potatoes, gravy, and...
I know. I need some substance. And I have some ideas in my mind about like what we do at our Thanksgiving. I want to say that this is normally there, but I'm not the biggest fan. So I think I'll go somewhere else, and I think I'll go with... You got to take some cranberry sauce. I think you got
to
mix it in, some get some cranberry sauce in there, and after your last pick, I'll tell you what I was going to go with. So I'll go with cranberry sauce. I got a lot of sides, but you put them all together, the gravy's going to make up for a lot of other things going on.
Cranberry sauce and gravy. Not real foods, but...
Mashed potatoes. I'm going to have a lot of mashed potatoes. Cranberry sauce, you got to have it with your Thanksgiving plate. You mix everything together a little bit and it goes well.
So here comes my final pick and one of the most argued, is it or is it not, Thanksgiving foods in all of Thanksgiving arguments. My final pick will be mac and cheese.
Yeah. Yes. It's a Thanksgiving food. It is a Thanksgiving food.
I agree. It's going in with my stuffing, with my pumpkin pie for dessert.
It would have been my fourth pick. And honestly, second in my list, but my fourth pick.
Does everyone agree, though, that you will run across conversations where people don't consider mac and cheese a Thanksgiving food?
So that kind of leads me into where I was going to go. At your guys' Thanksgivings, obviously turkey's the ho-hum, the meat of the day.
Sure.
Are there hams present at your guys' Thanksgivings?
There will be for mine this year.
I believe that we have a ham at Thanksgiving somewhere along the line for me. More of a Christmas dish to me, but I believe there might be a ham mixed in with the Thanksgiving dinner.
I feel like occasionally we might have had ham at my Thanksgiving dinner, but it's not ever a normal
thing. So here's an interesting one for me. This year we are doing Thanksgiving with my wife's family. But my sister-in-law and her boyfriend can't make it home till Saturday. My wife and I are going home Thursday for the regular Thanksgiving day. That Thursday, we're going to do a ham. And then on Saturday, when my sister-in-law gets there to join, we're going to do the turkey. So I'm going to get a little bit of both.
So I thought about having it there just to have like a substance food on my plate, so to speak, instead of cranberry sauce. But I'm not the biggest ham fan anyway. So
I will say last year when we did this, we were talking about our favorite Thanksgiving foods. I think I said mac and cheese, and Johnny, when he was still here, scoffed at me.
That scoffer.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
So the what final dish is, go ahead, Logan.
About the mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. It's got to have like the crust on top. It's got to be like a little burnt.
It's homemade mac and cheese.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to see your Stouffer's or your Kraft. I want a good homemade that's been in the oven a little too long.
Also, just one more note on it. I would have probably, if we had a longer drought, I would have had apple pie in there.
Okay. Good dessert.
More of a summertime dessert to me, but that's I can see it. Yeah. I'm a huge pumpkin pie fan, though, so I'll fight anybody around this time of year on that.
But mac and cheese is the only one that you guys picked that I also have. Everything else hurts.
So David's was turkey, corn in a bowl, and green beans. Logan was mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce. And I went with the stuffing, some mac and cheese, and pumpkin pie. All pretty solid,
I think. With a draft like this, whoever's getting turkey is going to have a leg up. You jumped the gun a little bit there.
A leg up. I like it.
I got the traditional Thanksgiving meal.
And to get everyone out of here.
It's going to be a dry meal, though. You don't have no gravy to go with it.
Nobody put any drinks. No drinks.
What, like eggnog? What's your
What is a Thanksgiving drink?
Well, it's a great question. This is an adult podcast. I like a good beer with my dinner.
Yeah,
I
like pick it up from the Jolly Farmer.
Yeah, I pick a good, nice dinner beer up from the Jolly to go with my stuffing, go with my mac cheese, soaks it up well. My brother-in-law likes chocolate milk with everything. It's crazy. that's a David
sounds
thing
like he
too.
And David would get along.
Yeah, him and David would have a great time at my
table.
It is
hilarious that you just said that, because before you said that, I'm thinking of drinks and Thanksgiving. I'm thinking of my entire childhood. It's turkey, corn, mac and cheese, green beans, milk.
What's the drink here at dinner?
I like
go milk, water.
No, I like a nice soda with my Thanksgiving dinner.
I really just have water with most things.
Water, okay.
He's not. We talked about this last week. David, not really a soda drinker either. Right. So he's not dipping into that.
A lot of people will wait and go coffee after their meal.
What the holidays kind of remind me of are those like mini sodas. They're like 8 ounces or something. You get like 10 in a pack. I feel like those are going around the tables a lot.
I don't think of coffee with Thanksgiving. I always think of it with Christmas strange. Because I think of all my parents getting up on Christmas morning and that pot's going. And
coffee is I don't have coffee, but coffee is a Christmas morning thing.
All right, special edition calls for a special locks of the week for our NFL games. We are only going to be picking the Thanksgiving Day games. There are three games. There are three of us. We decided before the podcast which game each of us would be picking, but we don't necessarily know which side we're going with.
So,
Logan, go
ahead.
Two
quick things. I dropped one last week, so I now have two losses. Yes. Cardinals did not show up against the Seahawks.
Correct.
I think I still get into the playoff field with two losses. I think I'm looking pretty good. So we'll see.
We'll see. You need this one.
Need this one this week. And then the only caveat I'll give is we went around and said, okay, which game do you want? Which game do you want? Which game do you want?
Yep.
David picked exactly the game you would expect.
Yeah, and he's going to start us off with the noon game.
I'm picking the Bears over the Lions, baby. No.
Bears, Lions.
No, I assume you're
going Lions.
I'm picking the Lions.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, again, if this was a normal week, I wasn't going to go the Lions route. I just wasn't.
Dominant? Closer than Lee Corso style, closer than the experts.
I think the Lions might have a little bit of a tiny Thanksgiving curse.
Okay. Fair.
I saw a stat during the games this weekend. This is the first time, I believe, in franchise history that the Lions have had back-to-back seasons with 10 wins or something like that.
Wow. But this is not your grandfather's Lions either. No. So obviously I'm going to pick the Lions. And again, I don't want to feel like that's a cop-out. It's literally just because we're not picking Sunday games.
Yeah, we did make it specific. We said, let's pick the three Thanksgiving games, and we went around. I think this 12:30 game has some juice. Yeah. This first game of the day. Rookie number one overall pick against the Lions. It should theoretically be a fun game to watch, whereas sometimes the Thanksgiving games can end up being snoozers a little bit.
Sure. Which could be the Cowboys-Giants.
That brings us into the 4 o'clock game. Logan, you are tasked with deciding a winner of the Giants-Cowboys game.
Cooper Rush versus
Drew Locke?
I don't think it'll be Drew Locke. Tommy DeVito. That was the name that was escaping me. You would think it never would escape me, but it did for a second. I have to pick the Cowboys.
Okay.
They get a big win over Washington last week in a crazy game, by the way. 41 points scored in the fourth quarter alone. I don't know if you guys caught any of that. But it just, I don't see anything good coming out of the Giants. I mean, no matter who's back there, quarterback, the hope was gone early in the season. And then you make a move like getting rid of the quarterback that you paid that much money to. We mentioned it, Daniel Jones, no longer with the New York Giants. So I like the Cowboys to figure it out and maybe have some positive momentum as December gets rolling.
I was going
to
say, 2 weeks ago, you would have thought Cowboys-Giants were between two teams who quit the season. But then the Cowboys just went and beat the Commanders like they did. So sure. They're probably, at least at this point, they're happy with themselves in the moment. So
that means I get the primetime night slate, Dolphins, Packers. I'm going Dolphins because I think they have to have it. They have 6 losses. However, if I'm not mistaken, they're 4-1 since Tua's returned.
Something like that.
They look
playing
the part.
His best ball of his career.
Yep. They look like they did at times last year when it was everyone's thinking, oh man, don't let this team get hot. Don't want to see them. They have a little bit of that going, and again, unlike the Packers, it's very must-win for them Thanksgiving night, so I'm going to go Dolphins with just more on the table to have to win.
Does it being in Green Bay sway you at all?
Cold weather, Mike McDaniel, not great. I'm still going back to they have to have it. The Packers not in that situation, at least not yet. The Dolphins at 6 losses, there's no wiggle room. And again, Tua's looked really good, and with the supporting cast, when all cylinders are firing, that team's really good and hard to beat. So I will go Dolphins. That's Lions over Bears for David, Cowboys over Giants for Logan, and Dolphins over the Packers for me. And with that, we want to wish everyone a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. We will see you back here at our normal day and upload wherever you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Spotify. And in the meantime, keep getting copies of the Daily Review and the Morning Times for all of David and Logan's coverage. They'll have you throughout the rest of this season. And Troy, and into the winter season as we're really close.
We're getting close to 1,000 all-time downloads. So if you want to join the party soon because we're coming up on quadruple digits.
Absolutely. With that said, see you next week.